I want to ask you, can you think of something that you really enjoy, but you don't get to do very often? Now, I'd love you to write in the chat, what do you enjoy, but you don't get to do very often? Give you a minute just to think. For me, mine would be surfing. Now, pretty much anyone can pick up a bodyboard from one of those cheap beach shops when they're open, and you can have fun. You can go in the sea and you can have fun. But the real excitement is not to be had in the white water on the beach. It's when you get out behind the break of the waves, and then you can ride them on their way in. You can catch them before they've actually broken. That's where the real fun is. Due to the frequency of which I surf, when I do get opportunity, I often spend a lot of time missing waves. I spend a lot of energy getting out beyond the waves through all the white water. And then I start paddling as I see the wave coming. I paddle very hard, but I just watch the wave go past me and break just in front of me. And then I go again and the same thing happens. And it's a lot of hard work before I finally manage to catch a wave. But it's when you get in just the right position and you start to paddle and you feel yourself rising on the top of the wave, and suddenly, rather than the wave going beyond you, it catches you and you feel the energy, and you just suddenly you don't need to paddle anymore. The wave's got you. You're in that position where you're just moving forward. You feel the energy of the wave. And as it rises and then it breaks, you feel the incredible power of that wave. And it's easy until you then have to think about trying to stand up. I wonder what your walk with God feels like. Do you feel like you're paddling like crazy and not getting anywhere? Maybe your paddling's kind of slowed down. Maybe it's even stopped because it's just been hard, you've been tired. Or maybe you feel like you're surfing this incredible wave, there's little energy that needs to be made, everything feels very easy. And if that's you, God bless you, that's brilliant, that's great. But if I'm honest, I think I spend too much time striving away than waiting and experiencing God's presence. So as God's power drives us along in his purposes, that actually that sense of striving is made much easier because we've got God's power. Like sailing, when you've got the wind in your sails, it's that sense of movement forwards. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the greatest need of the church from every standpoint is a great visitation of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to look at our next value, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this morning I feel that God wants to raise our faith and expectation of what he's going to do, of how he's going to use you and me to build his kingdom here. This is our third value. I just want to sort of give us a bit of a broad stroke. We've been in this series now, this is the fourth week, and the first week I explained sort of our mission statement, and that was to encourage others to respond to God's love, to experience it and respond, to equip them through commitment to the local church, and to empower them to be a blessing to the community. Then we've done two values, and this vision statement sort of split down in nine values, and we've grouped them in three. So the first three values are all about putting God first. We want to put God first in everything we do. And we said passionate worship, that we want to respond to the Father's love shown in Jesus Christ with joyful, Spirit-led worship. That's how we want to respond. We want to put God first by putting worship at the center of all we're about. The second value is hunger for God's word. We want to grow in our knowledge and we want to grow in our obedience of the Bible. And then this one, final sort of value about putting God first, is being empowered by the Spirit and living each day in that power. We seek God to use us for his kingdom purposes with those we meet. And this morning we're going to read from Acts 1. So if you haven't got your Bible, go grab it now. And to set a bit of a context, Luke wrote two volumes in our New Testament. He wrote two works of similar length. There's no guesses, no points for guessing what his first book was, Luke's Gospel. And in Luke's Gospel, he focused on Jesus' life and ministry. Focused on what he said and what he did. And finally, his death and his resurrection. And now we start his second book, and we're going to start from verse 1, and it says this. In the first book, O Theophilus, this is who Luke wrote these works to, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them, after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And as they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? I mean, I think we know. This Jesus, whom was taken from you up into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Father, we want to pray that you would speak to us through your word. And I want to pray that you would raise our faith and expectation of what you're going to do in these days. Lord, we don't want to be defined by our own experience where things haven't worked quite as we thought they would. Lord, we want to be those who live by faith and see that you're going to do great things in our days. And you're calling us to be part of that. Pray, Lord, would you come and meet with us as we hear your word this morning. Amen. There's three words or phrases that I'd like to draw our attention to in this passage, and all of the which relate to our value being empowered by the Spirit. And the first is, don't depart until. Luke's opening words, which are going to summarize the first volume of his book, Luke's Gospel, talk about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And as Luke starts, acts with those words, it indicates that there's more to come. Indicates that Jesus had just started a work that was going to continue. Jesus had much more to achieve, and he still does. And this period of 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, where he rose into heaven, is a time where Jesus prepared his disciples to carry on his mission. He'd started it. They'd seen how Jesus lived his life. They'd seen how he relied on the Holy Spirit. And now it was going to be their turn to carry on. The next phase was to be done through the disciples. Jesus told them, John 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do because I'm going to the Father. Just listen to that. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus' departure was to open the way for the Holy Spirit to be poured out and empower every believer. Greater works to be done. It seems likely that this doesn't mean greater works in terms of a wow factor. I mean, Jesus raised the dead. But numerically, rather than one person empowered by the Spirit in one place, it would be 12, and then 500, and then 3,000, and so on. And all these people were empowered by the Spirit. But in this moment, Jesus prepares them for his departure. He says, don't go anywhere until you have received the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And we see at work here the Trinity. We see that the Father promises the Spirit to be poured out on all flesh. The Son completed work on the cross and his departure to the right hand of God made way for the Spirit to be poured out on all. And that's the Spirit's involvement. Wow, what God we serve. What a plan. Don't depart. Don't try and get on with things. Wait. Jesus knew that the disciples could not do the things that God had in store for them in their own power. They couldn't start doing everything and it worked. They needed to be empowered by God. I wonder how much of our lives is spent working on and lived in our own power. How often do we stop and think, don't depart. Don't leave your home, or now we can't leave our home anyway, don't leave your headspace, your home headspace, and go to your work computer or your station. Don't leave that space before you've received the Holy Spirit, before you've been filled. Don't depart until. Jesus told his disciples to wait, and we too must learn to wait for his presence. Secondly, you will receive power. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In a few days, the disciples would have a life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. They would be transformed, and so would 3,000 others in Acts 2. Things would never be the same again. The powerful presence of God that led men and women in the Old Testament to do incredible things for God would be theirs. Think about Moses. Think about what Moses did. What King David did. David and Goliath, empowered by the Spirit. Elijah, Ezekiel, many, many others who were empowered by the Spirit. And this same Spirit that sustained Jesus was to be theirs. Gordon Fee wrote a big book on the Holy Spirit in Paul's letters. And he called it God's empowering presence. And this is what was to become available to the disciples. God's empowering presence. And the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is available to us too, as we are his disciples. God wants to empower us for good works. He wants to empower us to live differently, to live transformed lives, to be changed. And he wants to empower us to bless others. Part 3, you will be my witnesses. God's empowering presence is given so that the disciples can be witnesses sharing what God has done. If we read verse 8, we've already read it, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses. That was why the Spirit was given, to empower the disciples and to equip them to be witnesses to not just Jerusalem, but to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The good news that Jesus was alive was not just for the city of Jerusalem. It wasn't just for the people of Israel, Judea. It wasn't just for them. It was for the ostracized Samaritans, and it was for all the nations of the world. That promise that was made to Abraham, that in your offspring all the nations of the world will be blessed, was to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and that message was to go out through his disciples to the nations of the world. The mission of God would continue to grow. Jesus began it, but it was going to continue through the church. This was God's purposes. And it wasn't just these disciples, it was you and me. Normal people who are changed by God. This is the truth. God wants to empower and equip you to be a witness. I don't know if that fills you with excitement or fear. I think for most of us, sharing our faith is a challenge. We get sweaty palms. We get worried about how the person might react. But there's nothing quite like the joy of telling someone about Jesus and then responding and seeing God's empowering presence at work in their life. There's nothing like it. About 18 months ago, when we did the Turning Mission, along with lots and lots of churches across Orpington and Bromley and throughout the city. And I can remember my first visit out. It's not easy approaching strangers on Orpington High Street. It's not easy quickly getting to a question about faith. And I was nervous. But I was convinced that there were people out there who were not happy with the status quo, who were not happy just going about with life. I was convinced that God was at work, that nothing else truly satisfies our souls apart from Him and His presence. One of the people who we met, so we met a few and some people weren't interested, not interested in that, you know, off they went. But one of the people I approached was a delivery driver who was busy unpacking his goods, and I spoke through the script, and I spoke to him with Lisa from Christchurch. And as we shared about God's grace, I could suddenly see his eyes start to well up. We spoke to him, understood that he desperately needed to hear that his mistakes didn't define him. He needed to understand that God still had a plan for his life. And it was as we prayed together that there was a moment in God where he was encountering God, he was encountering his grace, he was encountering his mercy. And what an opportunity. And as we left, I was just filled with joy. What a chance to do that with someone, to feel God's presence at work in someone's life and to bring that encouragement. There's nothing quite like it. But I'm aware that this morning, maybe you're searching for meaning. Maybe you're looking for purpose. Maybe you're hoping that your mistakes don't define you and there is hope, there is an opportunity for a fresh start. There's something outside you who can give you significance. And I want to tell you that God wants to meet with you today. He wants to meet you where you are, not where you wish you were. I want to ask you, why don't you just open up your heart and respond to him? Why don't you just ask him to meet you where you are? In fact, why don't we all respond? Just take a moment to just respond to God. Thank God for his goodness. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you meet us where we are, not where we wish we were. You meet us exactly where we are, and you meet us with grace and mercy. And you meet us because you want to bring about change in our lives. You want to help us and equip us and empower us to change. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. And Lord, we want to respond and say, Lord, have control of our lives. So that's you, and you can sense that God's speaking to you. You can sense this God's presence with you. Why don't you just take that moment to just say, God, I give you control. God, would you come into my life? Would you help me? Would you change me? Would you transform me? Ask the Spirit to come. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and equip and empower. That meeting with the delivery driver was amazing. It was one of those moments where I've just experienced the sheer joy of being on mission with God. And God wants you to experience moments like this. God wants me to experience more moments like that. Sometimes I wish I had more moments like that. God wants us to experience them together. I wonder what those early churches' meetings were like after the Spirit was poured out and 3,000 were added, and gradually that number increases quickly. I wonder what those meetings were like as they shared stories of what God was doing. We read through Acts and it's dynamite. God is at work. God is saving people. There are miracles happening. There's persecution at the same time, but God's gospel is going forth. Can we just stop for a moment and imagine after COVID when we're back here? Imagine what our meetings would be like if each week someone different was sharing. Just get up. I want to tell you about what's happened this week. I felt God lead me and I spoke to that person and this is what happened. I prayed for that person and they were miraculously healed. There are people coming in. This week, my neighbour spoke to me and God really met with me and I want to know more. Imagine. Because I think sometimes our levels of faith and expectation drop because of experience. But I think when we read through the book of Acts and we see what a spirit-empowered group of people can do through God's spirit, through God's presence, with his power, preaching the word, I think we should raise our expectation for what God can do in and amongst us. How would your life be different if you truly believed that every day God wanted to use you to build his kingdom? Ask that question humbly. Because I know some days I'm so busy getting on with things that sometimes I don't really think, God, you might want to stop me. You might want me to notice someone today and to speak to them. Not being so quick moving from one thing to another, but recognising each day there's an opportunity for God to be first in our lives and to be used by him. I want to encourage you to consider getting one of these books. One is called Scattered Servants, Unleash the Church for Your City. Talking about actually spirit-empowered, every member of the church, spirit-empowered on that mission, taking the opportunities that God gives them on what can happen. And it's just incredible testimonies. And the other thing is this, Every Day Supernatural by Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft. I want to encourage you. Some of the books that I've read and the Holy Spirit, these included, have really shaped and changed my life. Even in our midweek group at Gather Together, one of the members in my group was sharing one of the books that changed their perspective was a book on the Holy Spirit, helping them understand. God wants to mobilize the whole church that we can all be witnesses, that we gather together on Sundays like a half-time team talk. We encourage each other. We refocus ourselves on the important things and then off we go. We go and do the work. We go and reach out to our neighbours and our friends and our workplaces and we go and make a difference. And this is what this value is about. It's about the church being mobilized and empowered through mission by the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the ways we put God first in our lives. We say, God, each day is yours. Use me for your glory. Use me to bring your kingdom in. Use me to share the gospel with others. And God wants to raise our expectation this morning. He wants to fill us up. He wants to empower us. And he wants to send us out. For some of us, maybe we've never experienced that filling of the Holy Spirit. If we read later on in Acts, Paul arrives at Ephesus. And the first question he asked them, he probably said hello first, but the first question he asked them is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They were believers, but he asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we've never heard about this Spirit. And Paul tells them about him, the Spirit comes. Paul knew that this was key for any church to be effective. And the church at Ephesus was one of the big, impressive churches that had a huge impact upon the land around it. It was one of the juggernaut churches, if you like, in the area. Paul knew that believers needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that testifies to us that we're God's children. It seals our identity. It gives us boldness and security in our identity to then be able to make those steps of faith in the power of God. For God to use us and to speak through us. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, I want to encourage you as we respond in a moment to ask, saying, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to get before him. Get before him today. Get before him during the meeting, after the meeting. ask him, Lord, would you pour out your spirit on me?
I can remember in a field up in Uttoxeter when God's spirit sort of fell on me first time, and just standing in the sunshine outside this tent and just having this sense of the love of God. It was just an incredible moment of just a sense of God's closeness, his nearness, his presence, his affirmation. It was amazing, and it's changed my life. But for others of us, we can remember those moments when we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But Paul later writes to the Ephesian church, to the Ephesus church in Ephesians 5:18, and he says to them, keep on being filled with the Spirit. That's the meaning of the Greek. It's keep on being filled. This is not a one-off experience. It's not, oh, I've done that, tick. Right, I've become a Christian, tick. I've been baptized, tick. No, it's a daily experience. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled. Make it a habit. Say to God each morning, I'm available. Would you use me? Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I'm available. Would you use me? The final verse of our passage, as Jesus ascends to heaven and they say he will come in the same way you saw him go to heaven, reminds us there's an urgency that we need to, that there is a set time when Jesus will return, and there's an urgency to our mission to share with others. The greatest need of the church from every standpoint is a great visitation of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you visit us this morning by your Spirit, we cry. Lord, would you come? We say, come, Holy Spirit. Where you are, why don't you just hold your hands out? Why don't you just respond to him? Say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, respond to what he's been saying to you. Respond to his call on your life. Maybe God's called you for something and you've kind of put it on the back burner, and God wants to just remind you of that call on your life. He's given you promises. He's placed burdens on your heart, and he wants to remind you of them this morning and remind you of that calling. I want you to respond to him. Why don't you ask him to raise your faith and expectation? Maybe over the years you've just expected less from God because in some ways you've seen some of those things you believed in the past, you're not quite seeing them in the way that you expected them. And God wants to raise your expectation. He wants to fill you with faith, because faith leads to boldness. Why don't you commit to daily responding to him, daily saying, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit, and would you use me for your glory? Lord, we pray, would you come? Would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you come and meet with us? So we gathered in different locations, not geographically in the same place. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit has been poured out on all believers. And we pray, would you pour out your Spirit on us? Well, thank you that we only have to ask, and you say you will respond. We want to ask you to pour out your Spirit on us, empower us, and equip us. I'm going to hand back to Lydia, who is going to lead us in a song which speaks about your glory fall in this room. Your glory fall. But the reason for that is that then it can go out to the nations. That actually the reason that God fills us with his Spirit is so that we can be witnesses and so that we can go out and share it. So I want to encourage you that as we sing this, respond to what God's doing in our life. Sing it as a prayer. Lord, let your glory fall. Let it go from the nation. Go to the nations. May your kingdom come. May your presence rest in this place. And we pray that. We sing it. We long to see more of God's presence. We long to see that great visitation of the Holy Spirit on the church. Amen.